Oh, Father, I just pray that you would help focus our hearts right now as we're about to worship you through the word, through hearing it preached and receiving it. Prepare our hearts, Lord. We know we have a real enemy. Just bind the work of the enemy to distraction, to trying to prevent us from hearing from our Heavenly Father. And what a night, Lord. We come together, we're going to worship, and we're going to look at the night you came to earth several thousand years ago. And may we encounter this evening the light of the world that has the power to set anyone free. And may we experience your love, your justice, and your mercy this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, as we turn to John chapter 1 that Josiah so kindly read for us earlier. And as we look at our text, we're going to begin with the first question of, what does our text say about us? We're starting there this evening. And as we ponder that, let's look at verse 5 of chapter 1. It says, Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. 2,000 years ago, before Jesus was born that night, darkness ruled the world. You know, I think back to the days of Noah, when every intention of everyone's heart was evil, and left alone from Christ, we create more ways of being evil. And as we think about being born into darkness, all men and women born lost and spiritually dead, just look at the news. Look at the headlines. Our world is rampant with murder and violence. And we see child abuse and the sex trade. It's quite heavy for our hearts, the amount of darkness around us. And if we lose sight of the light, it can feel overwhelming. I don't know if you've ever experienced it, but there's times where if you click on a news story, it leads to the next one, and you feel like you're in a spiral of downward, even to the point of depression. But there's also other darkness in our own heart. I know I've battled in the past depression and loneliness. We battle sin. We're told in Romans that we all sin. We all fall short. And the wages of that sin is death. Whether you struggle with alcohol or lust or greed or anger or hatred, whatever your sin is, you ever feel that darkness and the heaviness? And there's times where in ourselves, when we fight it, it feels hopeless. That's darkness. Of course, the other darkness that was in the world is our enemy. You know, the kingdom of darkness, Satan, is real. I think that was one of his greatest feats, is in America convincing most people he's fake. Walks around with little red tights and a little cartoon character. He's not. He has a mission. Scripture's clear. I know I've given this illustration before, but I love football. And if you ask any coach that's going to coach tomorrow or Saturday or Sunday, hey, would you like to know every play what the other team's going to do? They would pay you for that. They would pay you a lot of money. Well, guess what? We know exactly what our enemy's going to do. It's not a secret. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy. We know that's what he wants to do. Look around at the people who walk in darkness. What do? It's exactly what they do. They steal, they kill, and they destroy. Our enemy's real. But that's what makes the message of the gospel so wonderful. Because that's not the end of the story. I want you for a moment to close your eyes and imagine being those shepherds. Out, it says, at night, tending their flocks. You're on the hill another day, like every other day, tending the sheep. Maybe you're fighting off animals, trying to protect them. Maybe you're sitting there bored, skipping rocks. And out of nowhere, a bright, blinding light and a host of angels appear. Can you imagine? Can you imagine seeing that light? Do you think they ever forgot that moment? Do you think they hesitated to ever tell people around them? Do you remember when you encountered the light? Have you encountered the light? You can't stop talking about it. It's an amazing sight. I couldn't even imagine what they experienced as the angels announced the birth of Christ. So let's look at verse 5. It tells us that Jesus, the light, shines in the darkness. Verse 4. In Jesus was life, and that life was the light of men. Remember when I said our problem is? We're born spiritually dead. We learned that from Genesis chapter 3. Remember where God said, you can eat of any tree of the garden. Don't eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And God said, if you do, you'll die. And of course, if you are familiar with the story, the serpent, Satan, our enemy, was able to convince Eve that the fruit looked good. Have you ever been in that position where the sin looks good? It might even taste good for a season. And he said, did he really say you're going to die? Can you imagine? I was wondering what he said after she ate. See, look, you didn't die. You're fine. Or maybe she knew immediately the death that she just died inside. Because we're told that after that event, after Adam took and ate, after Eve, we're told that they heard God coming. So they knew the sound. They had to have walked with God in the cool of the day. They communed face to face with the creator of the universe, the light of the world. They knew his presence. And they did die immediately. But what we learn from our verse 4, that Jesus is the life. That life that was stolen, that spiritual life that died upon sin, and that we're all now born into. We're all born with that sin nature. Just look at children. It's not hard to see sin nature at work. And we're all born separated from God. But Jesus is the life. He is light. He came into the darkness, and he shattered it. You know, sometimes we just celebrated Hanukkah. If you're not familiar with Hanukkah, I'll give you the short version. It's the Jewish holiday where in between the Old Testament and the New Testament, there's 500 years where God was silent. And in that time, the Greeks overtook Jerusalem and they defiled the temple. And there's a little band of Jewish rebels that overthrew them and recaptured the temple. And they wanted to rededicate it. And inside the temple, they had the menorah. It only had 7 branches. And they had enough oil for it to burn one day. And they had to burn it continually before the Lord. That was a commandment for them to always have that light burning in the holy place. And they only had enough oil for one day. And it took 7 days to properly make kosher oil for the lamps. And the story is that God miraculously had it provide for all 7 days until they had the fresh batch, or 8 days. So Hanukkah is celebrated for 8 days. And the cool part as believers, we see Jesus is the light of the world. And as we celebrate, the one night I just sat there just looking at the flame. We can turn all the lights off in here and everyone is going to be able to see the flame, right? Because there's no amount of darkness that can overpower even that little flame. We couldn't get it dark enough. You're always going to see that flame. The light overpowers the darkness. That's an awesome truth. Because there's times in my own soul I got to remember, right? You can feel down. This world can be difficult. People hurt us. People offend us. But we're reminded in Scripture, but by the power of the light of the gospel and Jesus in us, we can forgive as he forgave us, right? That's how you forgive people who have hurt us, who've done evil against us, because How evil is that? You know, the Bible tells us in the parable, Jesus said there was a man that was forgiven billions of dollars, trillions of dollars, right? None of us here could repay trillions of dollars. And that man was forgiven trillions, and he went out and he found his brother that owed him $100, and he choked him and had him thrown in prison. How wicked is that to the Father? But yet we do that if we're not careful. If we're not careful, we harbor that same unforgiveness. I just recently read a book called Unoffendable. And this guy had an approach where he wants to live a life where you can't offend him because of the forgiveness he found in Christ, the light of Christ in him overpowering the darkness. And I think my wife just got me a book recently. I haven't been able to read it yet, but it's called The Bait of Satan. And it's the same idea. How many churches have been torn apart by offense? Somebody offended me. Someone did this to me. How many people have shipwrecked their lives because of offense? How many families at Christmas don't talk, don't come together because somebody did something to them? It's one of Satan's greatest weapons. If he can offend you, and you'll harbor anger and hatred, but you'll lie to yourself because you're a good Christian, and you know you can't do those things. And I know this from experience. I did it for decades of my life. I harbored unforgiveness towards people, but I knew I couldn't. So I would just say things like, yeah, I struggle with him. And do you know what they say about unforgiveness? When you actually finally forgive a person, you know what they say? When you release the person from prison, it was actually you that was in prison. Because unforgiveness, I heard another pastor say, unforgiveness is like drinking poison trying to kill the other person. But the good news is Jesus is that light that can purify. And he shines his light in our soul if we ask him to show us those areas where we're not walking obediently. Show us where we're taking the bait of Satan, whether it's anger, unforgiveness, whether it's greed, envy, whatever it is. He can shine the light into the dark areas of our soul, and we can be set free and walk in the light as Jesus walks in the light. So what's this passage require of us? Let's look at verse 12. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We're all called to believe. We're all called to receive. You know, this is a complicated one. I probably don't have time to flesh it out completely. But as a pastor, this is one that I've always really struggled with. I meet somebody and I'm talking with them, and my concern is always your soul. How are you? And I'll often ask, tell me about your relationship with Jesus. I go to church. That's like saying, tell me your relationship with your wife and say, yeah, I sleep in the same room. Excuse me? Oh, why? I read my Bible. That's like saying, you know, I read a note if she leaves lay around. Well, tell me about your relationship. Tell me about Jesus. I put $20 in the plate at Christmas. That's like saying, yeah, I buy my wife a present. Is that your marriage? You know, if you find somebody really in love, it's not real hard for them to tell you about their spouse. And if you're really in love with Jesus, it's not too hard to tell me about Jesus, about your walk with Jesus. But he requires us all to believe. And this is one of the hardest facts. You know, and I heard a pastor recently, he keeps repeating it, and it's so true, but it's so difficult. You know the hardest part about being deceived? Because you can say, I believe. You can say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. But the hardest part about being deceived is you don't know it. You think you're right. That's the part about deception. Like, I thought it was a joke, but my coworker kept talking about people who believe the earth's flat. I thought that was a joke. No, it's a real thing. Talk about being deceived. But the hard part about being deceived is you can't see it. But here's the thing. Jesus is what? The light. He will shed light. If you seek the Lord and you seek truth, he will shed light. But we have to seek him, and we have to believe. We have to receive him. And the word tells us, how do you know if you received him? You know a tree by its what? Fruit. If I gave you a seed and said, hey, this is an apple tree, and you go plant it and you're getting oranges, what are you going to say to me? Dude, that wasn't an apple tree. What if I keep saying, no, seriously, it's an apple tree? You're going to be like, "That you're crazy." But the same is true of us. What's your fruit? What's the fruit of our life? Is it love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control? Are you growing in those things? The word tells us to examine our fruit. Are we anger, bitter, have unforgiveness? But here's where we get to the hope we have in this passage, is that Jesus in verse 9 says that he's the true light. He gives light to everyone. Who? Everyone. He gives light to everyone. He was coming into the world to give light to all. This message is for everyone who will receive. And see, the best part is, it's not about striving. It's not about trying to do better. If you had darkness in your life, whatever sin that you've struggled to overcome, maybe for years or decades, you almost feel hopeless when it comes to, at one point in my life, I quit chewing, extremely difficult, times where I felt like I was never going to overcome. But the truth is, it's about submitting to the Lordship of Christ, allowing his spirit, his light, to overcome the darkness. It's by him, not by your power or your might, but by the Spirit of God living in you that has the power to set you free. So what a glorious night it was when Christ was born. Darkness was deep upon the earth, just like today. It's dark. Outside of Jesus Christ, it's dark. Countries like Nigeria, where they're slaughtering Christians, we need to pray right now for Nigeria. They're supposed to be planning attacks for Christmas Day for our brothers in Nigeria and sisters in Christ. The world hates us, but Jesus encourages us, don't be alarmed when the world hates you, because it first hated him. And he is with us, the light of the world, and the darkness will never overcome the light. And a quote just came into my mind from Charlie Kirk. The worst the darkness can ever... I'm messing up the quote, but this is generally it. The worst thing that the evil can do to you is hand you into the arms of Christ, right? Death. They can kill you, and all they do is usher you into the arms of our Savior, because a Christian cannot die. I remember one pastor, I don't remember his name now, but he said, someday you're going to hear a rumor that I have died. I think it was Vody Bauckham. He said, do not believe it. It's not true. I've only passed from this life to the next. I will never die because I know Jesus Christ. You know the light of the world where you will never die. Because remember, what did Jesus say? I am the life and the light of men. He's the life. Both today, right now, he can set you free from the bondage of darkness. Whatever sins you struggle with tonight, he can set you free if you'll humble yourself and ask. But also, he sets you free from the darkness of death and hell. We're told in Scripture, Jesus told us that in hell, it's utter darkness, wailing and gnashing of teeth. It's going to be horrendous, but he can set you free. Will you step into the light? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful for the light of the world that brought life into the darkness. I love the idea that night the shepherds were in utter darkness, and you came and light exploded onto this planet, a light that cannot snuff out, a light that will live forever. And we can have that right now. And I pray if anyone desires that, they would just humble themselves. Just confess, Lord, I'm a sinner. I could do nothing to save myself. Lord, have mercy on me. And you just said that you will receive any that turn to you, any that humble themselves and repent. Lord, help us to humbly seek your light this Christmas season. And as we're about to sing Silent Night, as we look at that flame flickering, may we be reminded of you, Lord Jesus, the light of the world that no darkness can overpower. And oh, we look forward to your second coming, Lord Jesus. The light will overpower the darkness. As we struggle this Christmas season, if there's any darkness in our soul, any darkness in our family, any darkness around us, may we have the courage to know that you overcame the light, and that someday we will be standing in your very presence, in your marvelous light, for all eternity, singing your praises. Hallelujah. We look forward to that day. In your son's precious name, amen. Okay. Did everybody get a candle? Anybody need a candle? We good? Everybody got a candle? All right, we got candles. Let's get the candles lit. We get the lights out here.